Hello and welcome to the Derm Health Co podcast. I'm Marnie, your host, and today I'm speaking with Jade O'Brien, the visionary behind Cura Skin, a clinic in WA, Australia. Jade holds a diploma of beauty therapy and a Bachelor of Health Science, and I was first interested in interviewing Jade because of her background in dermal science, which is very clinical, very evidence-based, very by the book, and the way that she's been able to blend this so beautifully and treat her client's skin really holistically while still creating a beautiful spa-like relaxing environment. So Jade shares how her extensive journey through the realms of beauty therapy and dermal science and this holistic approach has actually helped significantly transform the way that skin health is perceived and treated with her clients, and really highlights the importance of understanding skin conditions beyond the surface level treatments. Jade talks how she works with other healthcare providers to get the very best outcomes for her clients and brings a really refreshing perspective to dermal care that prioritizes gentle, nourishing practices over just gung-ho invasive procedures, although they're fun too sometimes. I started by asking Jade about the biggest misconceptions surrounding dermal treatments and delved into her unique path that led to her founding Cura Skin, a sanctuary for skin health that embraces both scientific knowledge and the art of relaxation.
Yeah, so I think the biggest misconception that I've found with dermal treatments is that you need to induce trauma or inflammation into the skin to get results, that we need to use laser, needling, or some kind of exfoliation to strengthen the skin, and that every client needs to be using some form of exfoliation or antioxidants like vitamin A, vitamin B, or vitamin C to see results.
Yeah, I think as therapists, we can get a little excited with all of our tools and gadgets and ingredients, right? Yeah. So let's start with a brief overview of your journey through the industry. So originally you were a beauty therapist, you completed a Bachelor of Health Science and Dermal Therapies with VU, and you've kind of added these holistic therapies or methodologies along the way. You now operate Cura Skin, and it kind of seems like you've made this full circle in terms of coming back to basics of skin health while still being evidence-based.
Yeah, definitely. So 13 years ago, I started my career and I started with my diploma of beauty therapy here in Perth. And I worked within beauty salons for about a year. And then I moved over to Melbourne and I got a job in a skin and laser clinic. And I was pretty much treating skin all day or doing laser hair removal. And I was having clients from, you know, wanting to learn about how to manage their skin, age management, to more severe cases like acne vulgaris, rosacea, and so on, coming to see me. And really from my education with my diploma of beauty and the training that the clinic had provided to me, I had no idea how to treat these skins. And so I knew I had to go and further my studies and get more education around what was going on a deeper level. So I found the Victorian University Dermal Science degree course and, yeah, decided to embark on that. And it took me about 5 years to complete the course. And in that time, I was working all over Melbourne in different dermal and skin clinics. And what I was being taught, within the skin clinics and within the bachelor degree, is to really build skin up to induce some kind of inflammation or trauma to get results. And I was doing that for a period of time. And what I was finding is that I wasn't necessarily getting the results that I wanted for my skin, for my clients' skins. And I found that within treating in these environments, it had become super clinical. You know, there was no skin-to-skin touch. You know, clients would come in, they'd be in their clothes, they wouldn't get into a nice cozy gown and hop into a nice comfy bed. I would only be treating their face, not their neck, not their décolletage, you know, and I'd always be wearing gloves, and a lot of the love was being lost out of these treatments. I was being told no massage, you know, that's kind of fluff, it's not needed. But what I was finding with these clients coming in is that their stress levels were higher, you know, than I'd ever seen before. And I was starting to notice that stress was definitely starting to contribute to some of these skin conditions.
Mm.
So I really started treating the skin within these clinic environments quite differently. I started going gentler, really inquiring more about what was going on internally for them with their stress levels, you know, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and things like that. And I started getting better results for my clients, but I knew I needed to take it like another step further and really create an environment where I had control of treating and the environment and the atmosphere that I wanted to supply these clients. I wanted them to come in and it to be an enjoyable experience and then really to unwind and let that nervous system come down. So I knew that when I moved back to Perth a couple of years ago, I had to go out and do my own thing. So I started up Cura Skin for exactly that, like to have control over treating the skin in a much gentler way and to treat in a much more holistic way with my clients.
Amazing. I love this journey. And congratulations on going out on your own. It is always scary to become a business owner.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. And there definitely were times where I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, but it's been one of the best things that I've ever done. And it's been really fulfilling for me.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what point, like you mentioned that you were seeing these skins, people were stressed, their skin was stressed, but what point did you realize that your clients needed more than just topical dermal treatments?
Yeah, so I actually think really fairly early on I realized, you know, when I was looking at doing the bachelor degree in dermal therapies and dermal science, I was actually toying with the idea of doing naturopathy. And ultimately, I decided to go with dermal science because I was working paramedically and I was very interested in, you know, the new technologies that were coming out and sort of that more paramedical field. And I knew that dermal science was going to be more specific to treating the skin. So ultimately I chose to go down that path, but it was already in my mind that, you know, the body was so connected to what was going on in the skin. Mm. But ultimately studying dermal therapies, I ended up treating more topically and more paramedically for a period of time. But it was probably a few years ago when I really, as I mentioned, wasn't getting results with the treatments that I was offering. And I was really beginning to see more and more clients with really sensitized skin. I actually think we're experiencing a bit of an epidemic of sensitized, irritated skins from an industry of over-treating, over-prescribing strong ingredients that are causing all kinds of complications in the skin. Like I see more and more young rosacea clients than I ever have before. You know, when I started out, there was very few true rosacea clients and they tended to be your more mature women and men, whereas now I'm seeing really young clients. I'm getting a lot of clients with fungal acne, mature age acne vulgaris, and persistent atopic dermatitis and like perioral dermatitis. With these skins, we really need to treat them more carefully and look at them holistically. Once the skin's been sensitized and these conditions start to come through, they can be chronic and reoccurring for the client, you know, which is really painful. They have to manage them going forward.
And I think the rise of like online skincare and all these home products and home treatments and modalities that people can purchase, there's kind of a sense that, oh, it's not as serious. Maybe then, like, is it really going to induce much change on the skin? When actual fact, we know that these ingredients and some of those modalities can be quite harsh. And in, like, in the right area, they're great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is maybe not knowledgeable or they've mis kind of diagnosed themselves and going based on what a retail salesperson is telling them, then there can be really big issues.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's sort of half the problem. And I'm not against a lot of these more active antioxidants and exfoliators. Mm. They have their time and their place for sure. It's just about using them appropriately. And you're exactly right. I think there's a lot of self-prescribing going on, and sometimes, you know, I have clients, I get them to bring in their skincare in their initial consultation that they're using on their skin, and they might be using a cleanser with an AHA and BHA in it, then a, you know, cleanser with AHA in it, and then a L-ascorbic acid, you know, in the morning, and a really strong retinoid in the evening time. You know, it's just a lot for most skin types, and especially like long term. But they're being told online that this is how they sort of get results.
Yeah. Well, it's like that bigger is better and more is better, and let's get the strongest anti-aging serum. Mm-hmm. And maybe individually, right, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then when they've got a 7-step skincare regime, it's a completely different story.
Yep.
Jade, tell me what is holistically treating the skin for you? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I think in this industry as well, treating holistically can get thrown around a lot, you know. And I guess in plain terms, treating holistically means that you're treating the person as an individual and you're treating the body as a whole. So you're not treating the skin separate from the body. You're looking at someone's emotional, physical well-being, their diet, lifestyle, and how that's relating to the skin. However, it's also really important to know your scope of practice. So I think the term treating holistically, like I said, can get thrown around. And yes, I treat holistically, but my area of expertise is treating topically still. I've done lots of research. I'm constantly educating myself on things that are going on internally and how they're affecting the skin. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a hormone specialist. I'm not a nutritionist or a naturopath. And I will guide clients and give them some lifestyle factors that if I feel like they need, you know, will help impact their skin. But I'm also really looking for clues to help me guide my clients. So if they've got a serious skin condition, you know, some kind of inflammation displaying in the skin, and I start inquiring about what's going on internally, and I think there may be like a hormonal imbalance or a gut issue or food intolerance, I will then start bringing up, we really need to start thinking about referring you onto an expert in that field, be it a doctor, nutritionist, or a naturopath. I think sometimes as therapists, when we say we treat holistically, we can think or, yeah, have in our minds that it needs to be us alone, and that's totally not the case. It really should be about interprofessionally treating with other healthcare practitioners to really get the best results for, you know, client skins. And I guess for me, one of the biggest benefits for my business and for my clients was really bringing in other healthcare practitioners to start treating, you know, my client's skins. Very early on, I developed a relationship with a naturopath. I knew that I wanted to treat internally and have someone that was more an expert in that area. So I started researching naturopaths and I started reaching out and contacting some of them and really gaining an understanding of their approach to treating the skin. I knew I wanted someone who did clinical testing, you know, and was really thorough. And so I reached out to her in my early days and explained my business and what I was looking for in a relationship. And I actually personally started seeing her myself to gain an understanding of how she treated and feel confident in trusting my clients with her. Also, I think it's really important as practitioners that we sort of practice what we preach. And, you know, I wanted to look at my internal health as well. Now, starting this relationship has been just amazing. The results I get with treating with a naturopath are like unparalleled, you know, with those more complicated clients. There are clients that still I can treat topically and I can guide through certain internals, but having her on hand to treat those more complicated cases has been amazing. And furthermore, it's been really good for exposing me to different skin conditions, because what's happened is this beautiful like symbiosis between us, where she gets really interesting skin conditions, come and see her, and she refers them on to me, because they start asking, what can I use on my skin? How do I improve my skin topically? And that's not her area of expertise. She doesn't know how to treat the skin topically. So then she's referred them on to me. And it's also opened up, she's referred, you know, different naturopaths to come and see me as well. So I think at the moment I've got 3 naturopaths that I treat, because I treat her as well. And they have also brought clients into my clinic as well. So it's just been, yeah, really beneficial. And I can't recommend it enough to kind of set up a little bit of a, yeah, support network and know other practitioners that you feel align with you to be able to trust your clients with them.
Oh, that's so amazing. And like, I know that there is a fear when someone refers onwards because they're thinking, oh, is that person just going to say, oh, you know, they were telling you the wrong thing, you shouldn't be using this, this is what you should be doing, and essentially steal clients. And I know it happens. I definitely know that it does happen out there. Mm-hmm. But it's just so nice that you've been able to find people that are aligned. And ultimately, you're getting better results for all of your clients, right? So that's the end goal, is to get better results.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also like educating other healthcare practitioners what we do, like by starting that, you know, relationship with her. Probably for about 5 months, she didn't actually refer anyone to me. She was coming and seeing me, but she didn't really refer anyone to me. And then she started to really understand my approach. I mean, her skin was really responding beautifully, and boom, she just started sending all these clients to me. So she needed to really understand where my place was as well. And you're exactly right. I think all healthcare practitioners can be kind of like protective of their clients and sort of think that they have to do it all, which you don't have to do it all.
Yeah, well, even in our day-to-day lives, I think our Western culture is known to be this hyper-independent, solo, it's all about self-help rather than about how you can help others. So like from like a fundamental way of how our whole culture is, it's very much like that, which would then ripple on in our business lives as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So this knowledge that you have from treating holistically, and then, you know, this extensive career, well, how long has it been? 13 years. Mm-hmm. How do you layer this knowledge to then create a treatment plan unique to each individual client?
Yeah, so obviously like my experience and my training are like an integral part of my approach and this journey that I've kind of been on, and the experience I've had with coming in contact with so many skins. However, for me, it really comes back down to an understanding of each specific skin that you're treating. And that's done by really asking your clients questions, consulting your clients. You need to consult every client. If you're going to be treating their skin, you need to have a deep understanding of their skin. You know, have they tried other treatments? What are they using at home? How has their skin responded? You know, if they have had those more invasive treatments, was their skin appropriately prepped? Is their skin sensitized right now? You know, what are they using on their skin? What are their internal triggers? Things like diet and lifestyle. You know, if they have a big night, do they get a blemish the next day? Or when they're stressed, do they find that they can get a, you know, dermatitis breakout or a blemish come through? Like, how do these things manifest in the skin for each client? Because everyone is so different. Like, even when I ask about certain things, like how does stress, you know, does stress impact your skin? And someone says yes, I'm like, in what way? In what way is it, does it display in your skin? Because everyone's different. And I would say just go really slow. You know, I think we can, exactly, you know, like you're saying, we live in a society where we're keen for results all the time and really wanting to push our clients that little bit further. And for me, it's just really about going slow and really prepping the skin. I also think explaining that good health is not a destination, it's a journey. You know, it's going to be ongoing, and you're going to get the best results from using the right home care and treating the skin regularly long term. It's not about one or two treatments is going to get you there. And then involve also, I really like to explain my education and my ethos around treating the skin, because I think there are so many varying therapists out there, and there are so, with so many varied educational backgrounds and approaches, I think you want to make it really clear to your client your ethos around treating the skin. So I say to clients, my approach is gentler, be patient, we will, you know, achieve results, but you know, it does take time and I'm working with the skin rather than against it. You want to make sure that they understand this and that they're on board with this, because ultimately if they want those quick fixes, then they might not be the client for you. I also think I always like to talk about their budget and what their expectations are and sort of check in around this. I think as therapists, we can like dance around that a little bit, but, you know, being open and honest and like, does that time frame of treatment work for you budget-wise? Do you need to space it out a little bit more? You know, and explaining that we can do that, but the results may take a little bit longer, but working with them around that rather than just assuming. I also think with creating a treatment plan, I have always a guide in mind and where I want to take their skin, and I'm discussing that with the client, but I'm really not steadfast in my treatment plans. It's about not just consulting the client the first time, but consulting them every single time they come in and see you. So often before I start my treatment, we'll have a little sit down and I'll just say, how'd your skin respond to the last treatment? Have you had anything come up in the skin, you know, since I've seen you last? Have you been unwell in the last 6 or 8 weeks? You know, check in, because their skin's constantly changing. So what you have in mind might not be suitable for their skin on the day, and you might have to, yeah, change your treatment plan essentially.
Yeah, so important. In terms of that education piece, have you experienced challenges in educating your clients about the importance of building strong foundations in their skin health, like as opposed to starting with a more invasive treatment that may have been recommended, you know, in your degree or in the theory books? We're really, as I mentioned, living in a time where people are wanting fast results. So, like, do you have much pushback from clients, or are they generally pretty receptive?
I think generally they're pretty receptive by the time they do come and see me, because I'm not working within a clinic space, and my ethos around treating the skin is quite clear on my website and when you go onto my social media. You know, and people usually kind of spy on you and stalk you for a little while before they book in with you. I think they already have quite a clear understanding of my approach and they're quite happy with it. However, I have definitely come up against clients that have wanted me to push their skin faster than I was prepared to, you know, because maybe they've had that treatment elsewhere and, you know, they think their skin was fine, but as far as I'm concerned, their skin might be too sensitized at that point to get the treatment. And ultimately, it's, you can only take them so far in re-education. And if someone wants you to do something that you're not comfortable with, it's kind of about standing up for your morals and your core values around treating the skin and saying no. And ultimately, I have said no to clients and lost clients for that reason. But I think the longer I've been in business in particular, I know that not every client that comes in my door is the right client for me, and that's fine, you know. So if they do want to go off elsewhere and get that treatment, that's fine. I'm comfortable with what I've stood by, and, you know, I'm okay to say goodbye.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, because as a business owner as well, you do have to think about the bottom line. So ultimately you could be saying goodbye to, over the course of that client's lifetime, of that revenue coming in. But on the flip side, if you push before you think their skin's ready and then you have an adverse event, then ultimately it's going to be your responsibility too. And the client's going to be coming to you saying, hey, look at my skin, what can you do about it? So yeah, good on you for like standing your ground, but I can imagine that that is a challenge in itself.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's come down to experience as well, because I think when I've gone against my intuition, and I'm sure when you were treating, it was the same, like you've had the old client where you're like, oh, I'll just push it a little bit. Oh, I'll do that. I'll just, you know, it'll be fine. And it pretty much always comes back to the ass.
Yeah. I think we could say the same for any industry. Like if you're getting a little like niggling of, oh yeah, listen to that. Yeah. You're really also big on like promoting this link between skin conditions and psychological health. What's your philosophy around this? Do you have any case studies or examples you can share where it just like the evidence is clear that there is such a strong link here?
Yeah. So I do really strongly believe in this. And I would say most of the skins that come in and see me in some form or another, have this like psychological and stress connection. You know, I have a question on my consult form, which is rate your stress levels 1 to 10. And I would say 90% of clients rate them between 7 to 9, which wow. is just, yeah, it's so high. We're running in these like high stress level adrenal like functioning modes and, you know, not even being conscious of it. And I think it's sometimes nice to bring clients awareness to, you know, maybe you should look at that stress levels and how it's affecting you, you know. And we know for sure that, you know, high levels of cortisol have a direct impact on the skin. They have a direct impact on our oil production by increasing it and creating a thicker, tackier oil, which contributes to breakouts. High cortisol has been linked to different pigment conditions such as melasma and increasing that darkening of melasma spots. And stress levels disrupts, you know, our microbiome and sort of hormone productions. So, you know, stress levels are, it's so proven that they do interact with the skin and with the body and create havoc. But it's really kind of like only the tip of the iceberg as well, because when we're stressed and functioning in these high levels then of adrenals, we don't sleep as well, or we don't get enough of it. We tend to eat naughtier foods, we tend to binge, or we tend to have, you know, that glass of wine in the evening time. And we often don't have the time or energy to make sure that we're even getting sufficient nutrients in our diets. So examples of that, like how I suppose in a direct way stress, you know, relates to the skin is like, I don't know, when we're at uni and we used to study for our exams, I used to go into the library and study there because I could really concentrate and just kind of have a few hours of like, you know, in the zone. And I would look around and it was like everyone in there was stressed and they had blemishes coming through their skin and they had, you know, rashes and inflammation and they were sniffling. And, you know, you see this time and time again in clinic, like, how many times do you get a bride in and you've been treating her for 6 months and her skin's fantastic and you're like, oh yes, her skin's going to be glowing on the day. And then a few days out, she texts you and she's like, I've broken out in all these blemishes or a perioral dermatitis breakout. Like, what can I do? I'm like, stop stressing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's so interconnected. But I think also it's a really hard one to sometimes know how to treat. Like, how do you actually treat stress? And for me, it's about bringing awareness to clients, you know, your stress levels are high and this is how it's impacting you, and really informing them of how, yeah, it's interacting with their body. And then within the treatment room, when they come and see me, I really design my treatments around reducing that stress for them. So, you know, it's, smells lovely in there. They've got a nice cozy bed to get into. You know, they always get a bit of massage in their treatment, and always there's a time for them to shut down in the treatment. I never talk to my clients through the entire treatment. I'm kind of talk a little bit at the beginning. I talk about what I see in the skin, what we're going to do on their skin. And then I really shut them down and allow their nervous system to really calm.
Yeah, well, even just from stopping and being in a calm, warm, dark, cozy environment, that's telling their fight or flight response, you're safe now. And, you know, even if they walk outside the door and then they walk into their car and they're stressed straight away, they hopefully experience that little bit of reduced stress. I've actually got a story that when I think it was maybe my last year of uni, and I was chronically low-grade stress 24/7, which I was kind of not aware of at the time, because when you're in that, you don't realize it until you come out of it. But I remember going into treatments and seeing a Chinese medicine doctor and coming out of the treatment almost feeling like I was drug affected. And she just explained, well, that's just because you're not feeling like high cortisol right now. Like, it was that significant, the change of like, oh, this is what no, like reduced stress actually feels like. It almost feels like not feeling stressed was the non-normal sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's lots of people that are familiar to that, kind of a side note, but that then results in skin conditions. Like at that time, I was also experiencing like consistent, persistent acne and all other things as well. So It is such a big thing that I don't think we really cover, but I love that even though you might not be a psychologist doing counseling type things, just those things we know can reduce that stress, bring someone to a bit more of a state of or outside of their fight or flight response just by creating a calm environment.
Hugely. And I don't think that should be underestimated, what we can do in the treatment room, like touching a client and just, You know, giving them that comfort. Like a lot of clients like you, you know, can be functioning in these high stress levels and it becomes their new norm. And so without bringing their awareness to it and without kind of really bringing it down for them, they'll just continue on through life like that. And if anything, it gets worse and worse because that's their new norm. And then they get stressed and then their adrenals Hit that level. And then they get, you know, it's a continual building of that stress in them.
Mm. You're really walking the walk and talking the talk, Jade, in terms of like living your values for and treating holistically to the sustainability project that you have on your site. Did you find it challenging to carve out your own path in terms of creating a space that is not like the traditional dermal clinic?
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't find it hard for me to create because it was just mine. So it was really easy to bring in these, you know, implement a lot of these things like sustainability and treating holistically. But yeah, and I guess, it was just so important to me when opening a clinic to have a lot of these as their core, these things as core values. You know, with working in, you know, other clinics, I used to see at the end of the day how much rubbish was produced, how much, you know, we were throwing in the bin and it wasn't getting recycled and reused. And so for me, bringing in particularly sustainability was like at the forefront of my mind. I was like, I'm not going to produce that much waste. And I really early on brought in a company called Sustainable Salons, which I'd heard about a couple of years previously. And like, if you're a clinic owner or you work in a clinic, you need to let, you know, the owners know about this enterprise because they're doing amazing things where they work with beauty salons, they work with hairdressing salons, and they work with dermal clinics to reduce their waste. And they do this by collecting a lot of their waste and consumables used throughout treatment. So your paper, your plastic, your metals, and your glass. And what they do is I collect them, Sustainable Salons come and collect them off me, and they actually then sell them off to companies to be reused. So with the plastics, for example, I know sunglasses get made out of them and park benches and things like that. So they're actually getting sold on to be reused. And these reusables are actually of value. So Sustainable Salons get paid by these companies that are buying them to sell them these reusables. And then the proceeds that they get from this, they actually give back to communities and charities. And I think that's just really fantastic. And really all it is for you to become a sustainable salon is you pay a joining fee. And then every client that comes into your salon, they get charged a $3 sustainable salon fee, which is nothing. It's a $3 fee that pays for my membership with them. And I tell my client about it in their initial consultation. I say to them, you're going to see a sustainable salon fee on the end of each bill. That's for X, Y, and Z, my, you know, company that I use in recycling. And every client is like so happy to pay that. And they're like, oh, that's great. And I never mention it again. It's on their bill and it never really gets talked about or brought up again. I think that was hugely important for me. And I reckon the waste now I produce has been reduced by about 70%, which is makes me feel so much better about what I do for a living and that I'm not kind of contributing to a lot of rubbish in landfill. And I think even apart from that, we can make really smart decisions as clinic and salon owners about the things that we use. So like, you know, buying smart, like get the paper Q-tips instead of the plastic ones. And, you know, there's biodegradable gloves now. And do we need to have disposable headbands for every single treatment, or can you have the reusable ones? You know, making these decisions really minimizes the waste that we're producing.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I think clients care also that they want to work, the majority of the time they want to work with a business that's also ethical and has sustainable practices, because it just means it's better for everyone in the long run, right? In terms of like deciding on a product range, so that you are offering consumables and or creating consumables, or rather using consumables rather, on these values, do you have some non-negotiables that you follow?
Yeah, so it was really important to me that I worked with companies that were, or my main brands that I stocked, because I stocked really two main brands that I use. One of them is Bare Roots and the other one's Synergy Skin. And it was really important for me that sustainability was at the forefront of their practices. You know, in their packaging, they were either reusing or they were using things that could be recycled, that they were sourcing from sustainable sources, you know, their ingredients and things like that, and that they were Australian owned and run, and that they were employing Australians. I think after COVID I really became obsessed with like buying everything Australian, because I wanted to support Australian businesses, and that kind of followed through into my business. I think as well it was really important for me to have the formulators of the companies that I stock really have had a lot of experience with treating the skin. So there's a lot of cosmetic chemists and things that bring out product ranges, but they haven't really had much contact with the skin. So, you know, Bare Roots, one of my brands, Suze, is a dermal clinician like myself. And then Synergy Skin, Terry, she has owned and worked in skin clinics, you know, for a number of years before opening up her or starting her skincare line. And that was really important for me. I needed them to have had contact with skin conditions and have a deeper understanding of how products feel and interact with the skin on that level. I also really wanted to make sure that they were minus any kind of questionable ingredients like fragrance and parabens and other things like that. And for me as well, I really wanted to make sure that they had a lot of botanicals in the products. So I'd worked with a lot of other product ranges that were filled with really just synthetic ingredients, and botanicals were really important to me because they pack such a punch when treating the skin. And yeah, I really wanted them to be present in my skincare range as well. But I also really wanted the ranges to be really luxurious to use. So even though I was following this criteria, I wanted them to feel and touch and the smell of them to be really enticing to clients. And I think another thing that I wanted was, when I've worked in other skin clinics, there's been cosmeceutical ranges that are really high priced for clients. And, you know, if someone comes and sees me and they're a younger client or even early 20s, you know, or even like, you don't know someone's budget, like, you know, 30s to 40s, you know, life's expensive. I wanted to have plenty of options as far as price points without having to compromise on quality for them. Because sometimes, particularly with those younger clients, asking them to spend $150 on a serum and then a moisturizer and $70 on a cleanser, like, and come in for treatments, it's just outside their budget. So I wanted to make sure that I had these different price points available to clients too.
Amazing. A long list, but you found ranges that tick all those, and female formulators too.
Yeah. That was important to me too, to support other women in this industry, as because I'm a woman in, you know, this industry. I really just wanted to, yeah, support us females.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so awesome. And I think it just shows that you can really bring your values to your work. Like, I've worked in places and I've just felt like, oh, this isn't really aligned with me. But you kind of sometimes, especially early in your career, you just think that that's the norm. You don't realize that there are alternatives. So sure, it might take a little bit more like research asking the community. But yeah, there are things out there, which is really good. So 13 years on, what do you wish you knew at the start of your career, Jade?
Yeah, so at the start of my career, I guess, I mean, I'm really happy with the journey that my career has gone on and the path that I've taken, you know, be it from working very paramedically to now where I am today, because I feel like it gives me just such a broad scope of knowledge in the industry. And I feel like if I hadn't have taken that path, it wouldn't have led me to where I am today and the contentment that I have around the way that I treat the skin. But I guess more so for when I started a business, you know, it's such a huge step, and I definitely doubted myself at certain points. And I guess I would go back and tell Jade 2 years ago to kind of have more faith in my knowledge and have more faith in going against the grain, you know, and thinking a little bit differently to what I suppose I'd been trained in. I also think as well to really not be steadfast in your approach to treating the skin. Like the research around treating the skin is forever changing. Like even from when we, you know, were at uni, I know when we started our degree, you know, the recognition between nutrition and skin conditions, it really wasn't as prevalent. And now it's like so recognized. So things are constantly coming out, and the approach to treating the skin is constantly changing. So keep an open mind about that. And I suppose as well, just be gentle, you know, there's no rush in treating people's skin, and, you know, building a connection with these clients that come in and see you, because building a connection and a relationship with your long-term clients and getting results for them is going to be the most fulfilling part of, yeah, your career.
Yeah, amazing. It's like with exercise, right? You don't just work out for 6 months and you've got that body for life. Like, we have our skin for life, so they're going to need care, support, education for potentially the life that they're here.
Yeah, and it constantly changes as well, you know, and particularly my women clients, like we go through so many different changes in our lives, right. You know, be it pregnancy or menopause, or we go through a stressful period, and different things pop up. So, you know, you have to duck and weave with that and change your approach sometimes.
Be flexible.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about in the future of skin and dermal treatments? It's already changed quite a lot since you've been in the industry.
Yeah. So I guess I'm most excited for all of the new knowledge and I suppose research and information that's coming up about how the body interacts with the skin. It feels like it's like a really exciting industry to be in, because there's so much new things coming out about that. I also think I'm really excited for, and I've already sort of really started getting back into this, about going back to basics with treating the skin, like almost in like my beauty therapy days, where I'm relearning different types of massage, which in a clinical setting, I wasn't doing any massage for about 8 years. So opening up my own space, I had to relearn a lot of that. And, you know, I recently learned buccal massage, for tension in the face and relieving those masseter muscles. And I've loved doing that. And I'm really looking at refreshing more of like my lymphatic drainage massage. So yeah, kind of bringing it back to basics. And I guess as well on that topic is like saying to other dermal therapists, like, don't underestimate the power of your hands. I think sometimes, particularly when, you know, you're more paramedically trained, you feel like you've got to have all these machines to create results in the skin, and you actually don't. The power of your hands and, you know, doing massage and very simple things on the skin can be really profound.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful note to end on as well. I've never heard anyone like kind of articulate it that way, but it's so true. And even with buccal massage and lymphatic massage, just because it feels light does not mean that it's really effective.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I think clients are looking for this more now as well. Like they're really on the hunt for, you know, this kind of approach in treatment. So don't be Yeah, don't feel like you're taking a step backwards by offering some of these services either.
Amazing. Okay. Well, Jade, where can people find more about you and the work that you do at Kura Skin?
Yeah, so I'm located in Western Australia in a suburb called Maylands, and my website is www.curaskin, and that's spelled curaskin.com.au. You can also find me on Instagram at curaskin_Perth, and my Facebook name is Curaskin.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, sharing your journey. It's just been so great.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you for having me on. I've listened to you for the last couple of years and really enjoyed the podcast. So I feel very honored to have been invited. So thank you.
Woohoo. Well, that wraps up another episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It was wonderful to have you here again. We will be launching another podcast episode next week, so be sure to tune in. And although it's lovely to listen and learn from podcasts, and I know it's easy just to consume and learn and learn and learn, but at one point, the integration and adding what you have learned into your life is really important too. So if you've got some takeaways from this episode, I would love for you to share them with us and perhaps others on social media, because you never know, it might help their business or their professional and personal development grow as well. So make sure you tag any key takeaways from this episode at dermhealth.co and digitalhealth.co. I'll see you again next week. Bye.